Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing cherry and Palavo pineapple mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere.
Hey, White Sox fans, Brett Valentini here, hosting Southside Sox Mothership Podcast, Cleveland 1-2-3. Don't care, but I'm happy you're here. I'm very happy you could join me along with, oh my goodness, I think a half dozen of my very best friends in the whole wide world, all from Southside Sox, personalities you know, writers you know, podcasters you know, and love. Introductions include Joseph Reeses and Crystal O'Keefe from, oh my goodness, our very favorite field office of Southside Sox. Dante Jones, keeping it down in the city. Allie Wessel, a little bit farther north, looking a little chilly. Melissa Sage, a Ballenbach. I did get it right. Congratulations to me. I think I'll quit now. Melissa is joining us as well. Oh my goodness, we have a lot of fun. Oh yeah, Adrian Serrano. Yeah, he snuck in. Okay, Adrian Serrano and or Cat and Musical Instruments joining us to talk about, well, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to talk about because nothing's been confirmed. Have we seen anything yet about tomorrow's big news? Apparently that Tony La Russa is actually going to accede to the wishes of his doctors. Bet you never thought you'd hear that phrase. Never manage again, which doesn't mean he won't be in the dugout for this final weekend, because something tells me he still wants to be able to scoop a little bit of dirt from the batter's box or whatnot. But anyhow, I guess initial reactions to the official word, supposedly, I guess, official word that Tony La Russa is not going to be back managing. And this whole shit show for 2 years, it doesn't change anything. I can't even believe I'm as upbeat as I am for this podcast, but it's just because of you, dear listeners, viewers, and of course, my colleagues at Southside Sox. Joseph Reeses, initial reactions to whatever the heck this was today from our good friend, Bob Nightingale, the mole inside of the White Sox front office. But he's not a mole because he's out in the open.
Well, I'm glad that the era is coming to a close. I wish La Russa the best in terms of his health, for sure. You know, ideally, he wouldn't, you know, be forced to not do the job anymore due to his health. But I mean, this is just a situation where this was not a position that he should have had in the first place. And the whole way he got the job with regards to Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, forcing his hand on the organization, and even, you know, right after on the heels of that second DUI, just quite literally from start to finish, just this hiring just was not the right solution for the team. They would have been better off certainly just keeping Rick Renteria as opposed to replacing him with La Russa. And, you know, well, I wish La Russa the best. Ultimately this is, yeah, at least a small step forward for the White Sox organization.
Thank you, Joe. We are recording very late in order to give Allie Wessel time to cool down from the Chicago Bears game earlier today. We believe she has cooled down, but she may cuss. We'll see. Allie, if you can focus for a bit on Tony La Russa, just again, response to, again, official, unofficial, official word that he will not be back.
Yeah. Why is Bob Nightingale the one that's reporting this? I'm still a little confused as to why this big thing is not being told by the actual front office. I think obviously, like Joe said, like, I wish him well, I hope he's healthy, but I just think it's a little odd that it's coming from Bob and not the front office itself. So
yeah, well, that's the White Sox front office, or who knows, the beat writers. They want to break their own news. They tell anybody who suffered through my recap today, I apologize, but I don't care. Sorry, I don't care. I had to write the story. So those are my feelings. I hope maybe some of you out there can sympathize with what I'm going through, even though I'm probably a longer time fan than you are. But this is just one of the games they play that they're going to plant information when they want to. It's just manipulative. It's sort of disgusting. And I, for one, finally, again, have reached a point where I am actually embarrassed to be a White Sox fan. So let's continue hosting Brett Ballantini, and let's move on to Melissa Sage Bollenbach, who is going to weigh in on her initial reactions, who I believe Melissa has admitted that when Tony was hired, she was one of those who was enough on the fence to be like, hey, let's see how this goes, because you never know. And frankly, we didn't know. We can't really say we knew. But Melissa, now 2 years hindsight, how are you feeling today with the official, unofficial, official news?
It is bittersweet in a way for me, because when we were handed it, right, we had no choice. It was given to us. So sure. I wanted it. I really wanted it to succeed. I wanted it to do well. I saw the potential that it could have really, really been an awesome, exciting thing. And the fact that it took a left turn and went so poorly, it wasn't even like a neutral thing. I mean, it went off the rails. And so for me, I'm glad it happened, but I'm sad that it happened at the same time. So it's like this weird kind of emotion that I have of, because at that like first time I remember going to the game in 2021 on a Sunday, and they were in the 83s, and I was just like nostalgic, and it was cool. And now I'm just sad about it. And so it's, you know, who knows what the future is going to hold, but hopefully it will hold something better than what this was.
Yeah, and not to page through the scrapbook of nightmares that these last 2 years have been. And of course, hey, last year was all right. They're in the playoffs. You can't really complain too much. Although the situation with Tony was a nightmare. I'm sorry, Tony. But think about the fact that the White Sox knew that this man had been arrested again for DUI. Knew it. Of course, didn't tell us. And then when it came out, they're like, yeah, we knew. It wasn't even, they couldn't even lie. They're going to throw him under the bus. Lord knows, St. Tony can't be thrown under the bus. Like, yeah, well, you know, we just had to go ahead with it. He had us over a barrel. Those photographs he was going to release. Okay, well, I was, again, if you read the recap, I was clearly banging my head plenty today, but maybe not the way Crystal O'Keefe was. Iron Maiden it is. I was not banging my head to Iron Maiden, but she's here with us to discuss. She is fresh in the news. She is excited about this news. It's like it's fresh to her. It's not 10 a.m. the way we all heard it from Bob Nightingale during the football blackout. The White Sox decided to release the news with very typical. Crystal, Well, I don't know. You've written a couple Tony La Russa articles. How are you feeling right now?
There are two sides to this coin. One, awesome, hell yeah, like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Like, get the fuck away from Chicago, please. But then there's this side of me that's like, but they're just going to hire somebody completely incompetent. Like, we're going to get AJ as our player manager and it's going to suck. Or we're going to get Miguel again for 5 years and he's not any better. He's still under the teachings of Tony. So it's like, well, cool. I hope you're fine with Ozzy being your new manager. Like, they're going to find a way to screw it up no matter what. So we're just going to be in this constant cycle of hating the manager. But like, bye, Tony. Goodbye. I won't miss you. I hate you. You should never been here in the first place.
I'm surprised, Crystal. Your take is super optimistic because you did not even mention Paul Konerko, the next manager, Konerko of the Chicago White Sox. So
I could throw like 9 or 10 names out that I'm just like, they're going to hire this person and we're all going to be pissed except for like Ken Woe, but it doesn't matter. So,
ooh, ouch. All right. I'll bleep that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Dante, hey, you're tight with Tony. You're writing him up for our report card in the postseason, et cetera. And let me guess, depending on what order we go, if we go in order of from the A's to the F's, you got a long time to wait. But if we start with all the bad stuff to get all the bad news out of the way, you might be leading off, Dante. But I miss the, you know, Bears, Sox, et cetera. You know, just how's a Tony La Russa news coming out to you?
I mean, as the person that screamed, "Let's effing go," when I heard the news during my morning walk, there's a lot to build from. There's a lot we need to work on, like the team needs to work on as an organization. But very big first step. I hope Tony gets well. I hope he can live a healthy, however long he gets to live life. But as long as he does that, at least 1,000 miles away from the White Sox, we good. Like, I don't want to see Tony La Russa wear any color that the White Sox wear ever again. Like, I'm rereading my piece on La Russa's potential retirement. And La Russa is 156 and 135 as manager of the White Sox since 2021, which, you know, that's pretty close to 500 as a manager. Miguel Cairo's 15 and 14 since taking over this season. Neither one of them needs to be managing I've always, like I've said ever since AJ Hinch got hired, give me Sandy Alomar Jr. They're not going to give me that. We're going to get, like Chris said, we're going to get Ozzy. I made a joke the other day that we're going to get Philip Humbler because he threw a perfect game. Maybe we'll get Mark Burley. Like, pitching no coaches. Matter what, they're just going to do it to give us someone that has absolutely no business being manager. I've said it from the beginning. Tony La Russa should have never been considered. The reason I believe this report so much is that the same person that reported Tony becoming the White Sox manager is reporting that Tony is retiring. So there's always a safety blanket, and Mr. Bob likes to think that Shohei Ohtani visiting, I mean, that Ben Verlander visiting Japan is a great thing. All those people, I'll give him his credit. Him and Tony La Russa seem like the best friends. Makes sense because they both live in Arizona when they're not busy being shitheads.
Yet you remained upright on the walk. You didn't have such a celebration. You fell down. You just started, you melted into a puddle of giggles. I love the visual, Dante, and I'm happy for you that you got that good news on the walk and you picked up to about a 15 mile an hour pace. Awesome. Adrian Serrano, you're batting cleanup or whatever it is. Your thoughts, your feelings about this, this 2 year, debacle, or certainly this 1 year 2022 debacle.
I mean, not unexpected at all that we haven't heard anything from the White Sox about it officially, but you know, very telling that since, you know, the Dan Bernstein thing came out like last week or week and a half ago, whenever, that Tony wasn't coming back. Like, there's been zero attempt also by the team to deny it or say, hey, we haven't made that decision or nothing's been decided. So like, It's like you said, it's gross that they play these games rather than just be open. And like, you know, you can't get fired. Jerry's not going to fire you guys. So like, you could say what you want and be okay. But just the way that they have to play these games is kind of, it's gross and embarrassing as a team. I'd made a joke, the Braves just won 100 games. I'm like, if the White Sox win 80, I'll make them a big, you know, display of 80 and all the players around it to celebrate. I am kind of worried about, like, we were subjected to this last 2 years as fans because Jerry was sad that he let Hawk Harrelson fire Tony. And, like, now, you know, Jerry's got to think that he almost killed this man. So what are we going to be subjected to make it up karmically to Tony going forward? And I don't know if any of us can survive that next thing, but I wish him well. It's kind of fitting that his last game as the White Sox manager, he lost to the team that decided to not have him be around anymore because he did such a terrible job of building that franchise. So, like, it's just a perfect inception of failing for a formerly, you know, great Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
Post-career.
I don't know how long we're going to go, but we'll take a break now just so we get out of the way, whether we go for hours or mere minutes. Oh, and everybody shakes their head and says, God, no, please don't. We don't need to. We don't want to have to listen to you any longer than we have to, Brett. But let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute and we'll talk more about something. I don't know, a manager or something like that. Hold on.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hey, White Sox fans, that was a quick minute, wasn't it? Because this stuff is just scooting by. You cannot get enough Tony La Russa news, Tony La Russa drama, and White Sox just smacking you in the side of the face. Behavior, which is, listen, you've probably never known another way unless you became a fan maybe in 2005. That wasn't a very brutal year. That was grinder ball, man. That was awesome. And so long ago. Not really sure where to go next, but let's take a page out of the tone of what I wrote. I don't care. You know, it's not because I wrote it. It could be Dante. Again, thanks for the quick piece today on Tony, just sort of getting the news out. On Tony, you know, again, for what we knew, which is still nothing. We still know nothing officially, maybe because Tony's fighting. He says, no, I'm not listening to my doctors. I am managing. You have to let me. I have the pictures. But part of the tone of what I wrote is just the despondency of being a White Soxman right now. And I don't expect everybody to be there. Maybe I'm the only one there, which is fine. No one has to parrot my feelings. But I'm just curious about the amount of wear you're feeling. Everybody here is sort of different ages, different, certainly different in their fandom. And different in their willingness to forgive. I admit I've been okay with the White Sox pretty much at this point. Today it hit me. I thought, what in the hell am I doing? What am I doing with this team? Curious to know just what the visceral reaction is. It can be the media angle of it, of how manipulative the White Sox can be, how little they want to share, the fact that they made this hire in the first place. It's just sort of your general emotional state towards this team right now. I know we've been building toward it all year with these podcasts, but now that it's sort of here and it's flushed, deep breath. Where's that? Better, worse?
I've come to terms a little bit with, like, man, 2005 was great, but I'm starting to really like, man, 2005, the way it was just so just happenstance and they didn't actually really earn any of it in a way. Like, you know, none of their decisions leading up to that were the decisions that should be rewarded with success that they had. It's kind of left us in this hole of asking for more, and people are like, whoa, you know, they didn't have to do that in 2005, you know, getting yelled at by Chuck Garfine online for, you know, whatever you happen to say, like, well, I don't like bunts. Like, well, they bunted a lot in 2005. Like, I don't care what they did in 2005. Like, you know, the Braves are, I think, going to finish top three in runs scored, and they're going to have zero sacrifice bunts on the season. Like zero. Like, you don't have to. There's other ways to score runs without giving up outs. But I haven't quite hit the numbers you have, but I'm definitely 30 plus years into this, you know, fan base myself, you know, rooting for them. And it's just been a lot of accept less for some reason. And usually it ends up being that the organization's making you feel like it's somehow your fault as the fan for not rooting hard enough or attending hard enough or going. I still have two games left this year and I don't have it in me. I don't know if to even show up, you know, like I have the tickets, but like whether I go or not, I don't know. You know, it's still a game time decision. And that's kind of where it's left me. Like, talk to me in May if I have any excitement for next year's team. Yeah. Like, there's some players I still really love. I love watching Aloy Jimenez play baseball. I hope that, you know, him and Luis Robert can stay healthy because I think that they're both very exciting players. But, like, you know, I got to see it first. And, like, that's basically where I am with this organization. I have to see it first. Like, stop telling me what you're going to do and just do it. And, you know, have a real managerial search. If you're not going to interview at least, you know, 5 to 6 candidates, then, you know, just stop lying and pretending that you care about winning. You don't. Just go back to doing whatever you want to do and, you know, let us have our, you know, tempered expectations.
The direct fan shaming and the fan even gaslighting, you could argue, that's a newer wrinkle. Again, I don't think I'm in denial about my past as a White Sox fan. Even Adrian, you can speak to a number of years as well. And granted, media is more savvy now, social media and all that, sure. But the idea that it is our fault and they don't even sugarcoat that anymore. It's very transparent. Is man, that makes your heart sick.
It used to be like through guys like Rick Talender, like they would like, I'll give you a little bit extra. You fight our battle and tell the fans that they're bad. And like, but it never was coming directly from the team like it does now. Now it's, they'll just get up there and tell you like, well, you guys shouldn't have wanted it so bad. You know, maybe if you didn't want it so bad, Tony would have been better. Maybe you should have been nicer to Tony and we would have won more games. Mm-hmm.
They rip it right off the teletype and hand it to Bob Nightingale. All right, other reactions from folks here.
Going along with that, yeah, I was surprised with the section in the Nightingale article a little bit about, especially with the, given like just a couple of short years ago, like as this window was opening up, like Han had the bold statement at Sox Fest, like answering the question of, you know, it's something along the lines of, you know, are you satisfied with what you've built for this team moving forward? And he said, ask me after the parade. And I mean, so like, I mean, the general manager literally said that quote. Like, I don't know the fans are somehow at fault for anything in that. I don't know. But it on a general level, yeah, I'm kind of numb right now. I'm not feeling like overly upset. I don't know. I just like I found myself like when the Guardians, you know, had that Instagram live like celebration after clinching the division and they were like clowning the White Sox, not only during that like celebration, but like the Guardians like social media team, I found myself thinking to myself, like, you know, I should care about this, but I don't really care because they completely deserve it. And the White Sox, they set themselves up for 2022 to be like right in the middle of a somewhat extended period of contention. And they kind of just fell flat on their face. And I'm not feeling like really a strong emotion in any particular way. I'm just, you know, kind of, you know, I think I'm at the acceptance point and of the grieving process. And just, I'm okay with that for now.
Joe, take a sip from a glass of water. I have to tell you, this is bad news. I got delivered to you. You sound like someone who is rooting for the rebuild to fail. Okay, other reactions from today's news, whatever it was. White Sox hasn't even confirmed anything. So this could be a phantom podcast, invisible podcast.
So I have a very quick aside, just because Adrian reminded me when he said Eloy today in my son's baseball game, he was like, I'm going to hit one to the fence and I'm going to be like, Eloy Jimenez, and I was like, okay, cool. But then he like went out and immediately got injured. So I was like, well, I mean, you were like him, that's for certain. So it was painful. But anyway, we've talked about this before. I think covering this team at length, and especially as much as I do, and just have like digging into these numbers and digging into just how they're producing and not producing, I think it has just bummed me out more than anything, to the point where it was like, not only do I love October because it's spooky season, but the White Sox are done and I don't have to watch them for a couple of months. Yeah. And maybe I can enjoy my life a little bit more.
Yeah. You deserve it, Crystal.
Yeah, so I'm not with Joe in the acceptance phase of grieving. I'm really angry, and I think my anger has just gotten worse. I've mentioned this in the Slack this week. I've been reading Moneyball, and they've alluded to Tony La Russa's like unwillingness to change with the Oakland A's, and Kenny Williams making bad trades, specifically the Ray Durham trade, and like, that just sparked more anger in me, because these are people that 20 years later are still involved in our organization. So like, if you were unwilling to do good things or move as the game was changing back in 2002, and now we're in 2022 and it's still the same thing, like, why are we still doing this? And I think my anger is just even more heightened because I really bought in and dove in to like White Sox baseball and really following the team very closely last season. And so like, I bought into Rick Hahn's bullshit. Like, I bought into the rebuild's going to work. Like, talk to me after the parade. Like, I just, so like, to be let down like this after being sold something that was supposed to be so great is just so frustrating. And on top of that, like, to the point of their like deceptiveness and like not really telling us anything, like, I fully recognize as a fan, I'm not owed anything. Like, you know, the moves you make or the things that go on behind the scenes, like, I'm not owed anything. But at the same time, if you're going to make statements or side comments or things like that, like, don't say you don't want a situation to be distracting and then proceed to just like let rumors fly. Just address it and move on. Because at that point I do feel like I'm owed something. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was going to say me and Joe, but apparently me, Joe and Adrian, furious about the Ray Durham trade. One of my favorite players of all time. And that was a bad trade. No way around it. It was a bad trade. He had still life in him. What a ball player. God, White Sox. Dante, Melissa, rock, scissors, paper for who goes next on reaction.
So I can empathize with pretty much everything that everyone has said. I think throughout the season and the last month or so, we've all been at those different phases that we've kind of all talked about. But right now, what I'm feeling is I'm kind of feeling foolish and duped. Like, I feel like I'm a smart White Sox fan, and that overall, like, our base is pretty smart. But we were all like at a really vulnerable point, I guess, and we were sold this bill of goods, and I feel like questioning myself, like, how did I fall for that? Like, I don't know, like, how did I believe what they were trying to sell me when I know the history of this organization really well, because I've been a fan for 40 plus years. Like, we know the kind of sneaky things that they pull and how they operate, and it was like, we should have seen this coming. Like, how did we not see this coming? And so that's where I'm at right now, is kind of feeling like questioning myself, and I shouldn't be questioning myself, because I know stuff. So
Crystal is the psychology. She's our psychologist on staff, but I'm going to speak for her and say, I think we call that Stockholm syndrome. They've weakened us to the point where now we know not to say no. And so, of course, let's rebuild. Of course, Tony La Russa. Dante, give me a shot.
All right. So, you know, there's a song by Beyonce called Break My Soul. And she says, you won't break my soul. And yeah, the White Sox will not break my soul at this point. Because, no, I, like Ali said, I'm too young to not be just in anger mode right now. I'm 26. I've been dealing with this team for 26 years. And only about 19 of them willingly. So I have plenty of time to become just Stockholmed. But no, like, I've been saying it for months. This team was like, in the predictions, I was one of the ones that said, they're not going to the World Series, let alone win a World Series. I knew that, like, as much as people, we try to talk ourselves into saying manager doesn't matter that much in baseball. He won't kill us that badly. It'll be fine. It was not fine. It never reached the point of even okay. Like 2021 was great. Got to see Luari do really good things that apparently gave him a 3-year contract for a ridiculous amount of money for his skill set. You know, all that great stuff. Then I get to see the White Sox, even though they saw that the Houston Astros, the standard of the AL for the last half decade, they keep getting better. All these other, like, look at Aaron Judge and the Yankees. White Sox ain't beating them in playoffs. We already seen what Cleveland did to us this year. I'm wearing the Seattle Mariners jersey right now. I've said it before. Julio Rodriguez and them were just in the White Sox in Seattle, probably, like at Safeco or T-Mobile Park, I guess. But, like, the amount of just not trying to get better, and I hate the idea of blaming fans. No fan has anything to do with the White Sox ineptitude and the lack of trying. Like earlier this year, the Cincinnati Reds owner, his son, one of the Castellinis, basically said, what are you going to do? Stop rooting for us? And that's how all of these fan, these owners and people in leadership feel. They're like, what you going to do? Stop? Yeah. You're going to leave? You dedicated time, money, and effort to us. Me and our good friend Zach both have, we have season tickets. We got a season ticket package together. We skipped plenty of games. We chose the Chicago Sky over the Chicago White Sox because at least I can see a winner if I'm watching Sky games.
Yeah. Castellini said that. We're all like, what? Who said that? Well, hold on. Our guy didn't say that? Well, hold on a second. Okay, now we know. All right, in captivity here, as we're being held hostage in the Southside Sox podcast room, I believe, listen, I'm the oldest, so I will take the guard out. I will tackle the guard, and you got to follow Dante, maybe Allie, follow them out. They got the spirit. Follow them out to daylight and just get, or don't. I don't know. We're all Sox fans. Where are we going? I'm going to
jump. We're coming back. Don't worry. We will be back. Okay. Like, next year, I will be, like, on these podcasts. That will not change. It's just the idea of knowing, like, you have to at least be able to admit to yourself that you're rooting for a trash organization.
Oh my goodness. We have the title of the podcast. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So we are rooting for the this trash organization. And listen, we're still talking. Might as well be Wizard of Oz. I don't know if it's a black and white portion or color because we don't know anything yet. White Sox haven't confirmed a thing. We don't know what's going on. Maybe they're going to have a big brunch tomorrow for the last home series. And that's the big news. So we are going to be back with the podcast tomorrow night to discuss that more and further. It might be a longer one. Right now, we're just spitting in the wind at this point. This is the same stuff we've been talking about for, I don't know, weeks, years, decades, well, some of us decades. So let's wind this up with a little speed round, but hang with us because tomorrow night we'll have more, maybe even 7, 8, 9, 10. Maybe it'll be a whole room of captive Southside Sox writers just stuck podcasting. What else can they do? They just must podcast. We'll take plenty of time tomorrow in doing that. Let's do a little speed round here. And what I need to know from everybody is this true? Is this actually going to happen? And then also the second part, a little more complicated, but you can still answer quickly. Are they actually going to conduct a real managerial search? Let's reverse it. We're going to start with Adrian Serrano at my bottom. Didn't sound right. Adrian.
Tony's not coming back. They're not going to have a real search. I don't know who it's going to be. I no longer have it in me to try and pretend to know or predict what the team that signed Tony La Russa 10 years after he retired is going to do with their managerial search. So
I have a feeling that might be the common.
I hope it's somebody worth having, but like, it's probably going to be somebody we're hoping for a Ricky Renteria type. Yeah. Like that's the goal.
Yeah. That'd be like, yeah, thank goodness. One prediction, AJ Hinch's autograph will be on the release, whoever it is. Dante, those two questions, please.
Tony's not coming back. They're not going to conduct a real manager search. Be prepared for a White Sox legend, because how much of a legend can you be with only one ring and like a few championships, a few playoff wins to show for it? But prepare for, as we've said before, Paul Kernerkle to become the manager of the White Sox. Also, side note, the White Sox played a baseball game today and we have not talked about it once because they don't deserve it, because who gives a shit?
Yep. That's sort of how the recap was. Well, man, I threw a couple highlights in and I didn't feel good about it. Crystal, those questions.
So Tony saw your joke about halfway to April Fool's Day. So he's actually staying. but he is hiring assistant manager Chuck Garfine to come in.
Bench coach Pito. Yeah. Okay. All right. Melissa. That was a twist. I like it, Crystal. Okay. Melissa, where are you at?
Yeah. Tony's not coming back, and be prepared for Ozzie Guillen because apparently he knows the team better than anyone, I heard today. So yeah, this team will not conduct a real search. I'm trying to think of a time when I actually felt like they really conducted a real managerial search. And I mean, it's been so long, I can't remember it.
It was Ozzie, 2004. And even that one got upturned because Cito Gaston was a choice. And then Ozzie came in hungover and won Ken Williams over because he cussed at him. So yeah, that was sort of like not real, but you know.
Yeah.
Boy, I had a point, but then I forgot it because I had to make yet another joke. Allie, please answer.
No, Tony is not coming back. I think they've given him a gracious way to bow out without actually having to fire him. I think given that Jerry Reinsdorf, Kenny Williams, and Rick Hahn are going nowhere, and apparently Tony La Russa is going to be some kind of special assistant overseer person, next season, there will be an internal hire, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just say, Miguel, you did the last portion of the season, have the job.
Okay. Yeah. My point was, sorry, I'll insert it here. I was on the Zoom, when, Ricky was, fired, and, right off the top, almost right after he said, yes, Rick said, we have decided to part ways with Ricky. Like literally the next thing he said was, and Ozzie Guillen has been told he is not as part of the search. He is not. So I don't know what's changed. We'll see. But he knows the team so well. Maybe Rick will come to his senses, Rick Hahn, and say, oh, man, he knows the team better than anyone. He does that dance. He falls asleep. He cusses them out. It's wonderful. Okay, Joe, we're probably going to have a second bonus round. But, Joe, give me your answers to those two questions.
No, Tony will not be back as manager. And no, they will not have a real managerial search. So not a ton to add there. Just a small plea for the White Sox, upper management. Just leave the 05 team. Let them be. Just let me enjoy them and have my nostalgia. Don't do anything to wreck it by hiring someone connected to that team. Just let them be.
First, I got Joe drinking a glass of water. Now I got him shedding a tiny tear over the fact that he's in denial that 2005 White Sox will be running the team going forward. Joe, I'm coming right back at you. Another quick speed round, and that is give me the White Sox legend who will be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox. Go.
Ozzie.
Okay, Allie, who is it? You Jose said Miguel, Abreu. But okay, Jose Abreu. Yeah, all right.
Jose Abreu.
Okay. Melissa, coming back to you.
I'm going to throw out one that we haven't really heard, but I mean, I'm surprised. Frank Thomas. I mean, why not? Big Frank, come on.
I was going to say that. Teach him to hit too. So
the team will be so virile. Oh my goodness. Okay, Crystal, who's it going to be? You have to answer.
I know. It's going to be Ozzie.
Ozzie and his whole clan, because they endeared themselves so well to the front office the first time around.
It's gonna be
okay. Dante, who you got? I guess Frank Thomas and
there we go. So I'm just gonna go with, like I said, it's gonna be like Paul Konerko or Mark Burley. Like they're gonna bring Mark Burley out of the woods from his hunting trip and he'll come sit on the bench for a season or two, and then they'll let Frank do it, and then they'll let Paulie do it. And, you know, maybe they'll even, like, go to the 08 team, throw Alexi Ramirez in there or something.
Cuban connection. All right. Okay. Adrian, you kicked this off, so it's only fair that you got to be the anchor man here. And tell me who it's going to be. Which legend?
Drake LaRoche. We're going to go the opposite. We got to go younger. We need leadership on this team. And when I think of young leadership, I think of Drake LaRoche.
I can promise you, I will not be back doing podcasts.
They're going to retire number 12 for him.
He's a real man now. He's married. He's ready to manage.
Yeah, he's pitched. He's got experience. He was pitching for some, you know, community college or junior college or something. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably got 5-6 kids by now. I don't know. They got to keep the compound populated. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm tearing up. I can't believe that all of my six delightful guests made me happy enough to not want to end my White Sox fandom, because boy, today's been a weird and hard day. And who knows, tomorrow you may get just the depressed droning. It could just be an emo podcast.
Can you end this podcast with "It's So Hard to Say Goodbye" by Boyz II Men?
Why not? Yeah. Why not? Just all right.
Play it off when we're okay. Editing. Just
all right. Okay, Keyboard Cat, play us off. It is Boyz II Men bringing us home. We'll be back most likely tomorrow night. If I'm still a White Sox fan, I'll be hosting. If not, hit Pirate Podcast. Let's do it. No matter what, we'll be talking about something, whatever happened at the goddamn, brunch / press conference at Sox Park today. And, maybe they'll play a game we'll talk about. Probably not. And maybe all six of these wonderful people will be back with me. If not, who knows? More people, maybe even new podcasters. Who's to say? Thanks for listening. Thanks, Dante, Joe. I don't know. I'm going to run out of time. Sorry, I can't thank everybody again. But we'll be back tomorrow night. Hang with us. We'll be back. But for it's so hard to say goodbye.